Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Turn up your volume. Up your volume.
Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast.
The Sick Podcast.
With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the
ball! Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne chose, et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaBita.tv. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's going to be sick.
Marinaro on this Monday, March 18. It is 10 minutes. It is 10.04 p.m. On this Monday. How is everyone doing tonight? You're watching right now on YouTube Live, on Facebook Live, and on Twitter Live with Shane Gaumont and Master Control. The Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. Named by the Financial Times as one of America's fastest growing companies in 2023, recognized by the Globe and Mail as a top growing Canadian company for 2 years in a row. They work with some of the biggest Fortune 500 companies providing end-to-end logistics services. Join a winning team and check out Energy's career page for available opportunities. Also brought to you in part by LaBita.tb, brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. LaBita.tb offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. LaBita.tb, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground. Get ready to laugh out loud and enjoy a fun evening with friends. This event promises to tickle your funny bone and leave you in stitches. Don't miss out on the opportunity to laugh until it hurts. Reserve your spot now for a night of nonstop laughter at Playground. Remember, it's every Wednesday at 8 p.m. where the jokes fly and the laughs don't stop. Don't miss out on the funniest night of the week at Playground, where every laugh is louder than the last. See you there for a night of unforgettable. All right, okay. Also brought to you in part by Manscaped. Oh, let me just get them right over here. Yeah. Always want to show you the box. There you have it. The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra of Manscaped. You know, this year, don't just chase rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders in below-the-kilt care. Say goodbye to your clover forest with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use code Montreal for 20% off plus free shipping. That's 20% off and free shipping with code Montreal at manscaped.com. And finally, also brought to you in part by Accent Assurance. You all know that insurance isn't created equal, and you know where to find the right solution for you. Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop insurance for you to find the right product, right on the money, whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business. Call the Accent team today at 514-363-3636 and get the right solution at the right price. Visit their website at accentassurance.com. I want to thank all the fantastic partners and sponsors that we have. You know, I know somebody, I think it was last podcast, said, well, 8 minutes into the show and we haven't started yet. Hey, I'm not going to apologize for having partners and sponsors. And it's a good thing we do, because, you know, if I decide to go full time with this, if we're not going to have any, as much as I love the sport, I love all of you, chances are I'm not going to do it. All right. So special thanks, and maybe other podcasts start earlier. And maybe one of the reasons why is they don't have these partners and these sponsors. So I'm not going to apologize for it, but I'm going to try and explain it that sometimes it starts a little bit later because it is. But if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be doing it. So here it is. Speaking of which, we're also very happy to have on our podcast, Craig Button, who's a regular collaborator on Wednesdays, but he's filling in tonight. Eric Engels couldn't go. He's at the GM meetings. And there's Craig, who looks extremely excited to join me right now.
Why wouldn't I be excited to join you?
Hey, I like that top. It really stands out in the camera, I have to tell you.
That's great. Yeah. Nice color. Thank you very much.
He is a TSN hockey analyst, of course, and director of scouting for TSN. Craig, let's get to it as early as we can here, and I'd like to get it out of the way. The Canadiens announced on Saturday that Marty St. Louis was leaving the team for personal reasons. And obviously, it's got to be pretty serious for Marty St. Louis to leave the team for an undetermined amount of time. So, you know, David Savard said something during the intermission with Renaud Lavoie where he said, we would love to get the win for Marty's son. So once again, obviously, we know it's something pretty serious, but look, I said earlier today, and I know you're going to say the same thing. We wish Marty well, family first, and take as long as you want, right?
There's no other way. I mean, for Marty St. Louis, you know, the best, he is now where he needs to be and where he should be as far as I'm concerned. Marty knows best. And, you know, you wish the best for everybody involved. Everybody, you wish the best for his family, number one. And, you know, whatever, you know, David Savard said, we hope we can win the game for his son, which is wonderful. And I think any speculation should cease. There should be no more speculation. All you hope for, and you do, you hope for the best of outcomes for Marty St. Louis and his family.
I don't want to talk about it more than that. And I'm not going to shy away here. I'm going to tell you something. I've been inundated with text messages and phone calls and what's going on. I've also received a lot of them from people telling me that they know what's going on, or this is going on, or that's going on, or this is going on. And, you know, like, yeah, I just received a DM from someone in the media probably about an hour ago, and what's going on. And I said, look, I'm not trying to dig to find anything here, because it's a family matter. It's private. You know, they've basically told everyone that if they could respect his privacy. The GM was asked about it earlier today, and he's saying, hey, you know what? I haven't checked up on him, because I would imagine he's getting text messages from everyone, and I don't want to bother him, and he'll come back when he's ready. And, you know, I don't get members of the media trying to dig to get down to the bottom of this. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Well, what I would say is it's a lack of respect for the wishes of Marty St. Louis and his family. So if you have respect for privacy, then just back off. It's as simple as I would say. Any effort to try to dig as somebody to find information, I think just shows a complete lack of respect for Marty St. Louis and his family's wishes.
You know, it's crazy though. There's a couple of websites that are kind of like tabloid stuff, rumor stuff, gossip stuff. And one of them got over a million clicks or a million views in the last 48 hours or so. Could you imagine just by throwing out a few things and a few speculations, a few titles? It's unreal. I don't get the intrigue by people, but anyway, it is what it is.
I'll tell you something real quick.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein said this many years ago. He said, the difference between genius and stupidity is genius has its limits. This is just another example of stupidity and ignorance and lack of respect. It's as simple as I can put it. So I don't care if they get, 100 billion clicks. The bottom line is, Einstein nailed it. Stupidity has no limits.
Yeah, there you have it. Anyway, so I think it's, Craig, it's safe to say that you join me in wishing Marty and his family all the very, very best, and to take all the time in the world, because there's nothing more important than family. All right, okay. So let's talk about David Reinbacher, because that should be the discussion here. We were waiting for him to come over, Kent Hughes was pulled aside earlier today at the GM meetings, and he actually gave us some information about Reinbacher. The questions are in French. I will translate, but here's a good 2.5 minutes worth of Kent Hughes on David Reinbacher.
Aujourd'hui, vous avez annoncé à Kent que David Reinbacher se joint à l'organisation des Canadiens officiellement.
Oui.
Il s'en va à Laval, évidemment.
Oui.
C'est quoi les plans? Est-ce qu'il y a un certain nombre de matchs que vous voulez voir jouer? Vous voulez qu'il prenne son temps à s'adapter à sa nouvelle équipe avant de jouer, j'imagine?
Je pense qu'il va pratiquer avec l'équipe. Il devait arriver vers 6 heures ce soir. Il va pratiquer la semaine, puis on attend qu'il va jouer en fin de semaine.
OK. Puis des deux matchs en deux soirs, ça ne sera pas un problème. Il va prendre la même routine que les autres joueurs à ce moment-là.
Oui.
Es-tu content qu'il se joigne à votre organisation? Puis peux-tu nous parler de l'impact pour l'organisation de le voir tout de suite au lieu d'attendre au mois de septembre?
Oui, on suit les séries en Suisse depuis une couple de semaines en souhaitant qu'on aura les résultats qu'on voulait pour que David pouvait venir le plus tôt possible. C'était le plan qu'on a renvoyé. On voulait qu'il reste en Amérique du Nord. Il est venu au mois d'août pour s'adapter, pratiquer avec les joueurs, puis on a voulu le garder le plus longtemps possible pour le camp. Puis leur permettre de retourner en sachant qu'il reviendra au fin de l'année, en espérant que Laval joue dans les séries, ça lui permette le plus de temps à s'adapter au jeu en Amérique du Nord, puis la vie en Amérique du Nord.
Est-ce que ça se pourrait qu'il joue un match avec le Canadien d'ici la fin de la saison?
Non, à cause des règlements, probablement pas.
C'est quoi l'évolution, la progression qu'il y a eu selon ce que vous avez vu là-bas en Suisse?
Mais j'ai pas vu beaucoup, vu que je suis pas allé en Suisse. Mais je sais que ça n'a pas été une saison facile, pas juste pour David, mais pour l'organisation au complet. Puis on a resté en contact avec Larry toute l'année en Cloton. Puis c'était une difficile saison pour. Alors on a été hâte de le faire venir. C'est sûr que ça nous fait penser au European Assignment les clauses avec d'autres Européens, parce qu'on n'avait pas les moyens de, au mois de décembre, dire OK, tu seras mieux avec nous en Amérique du Nord, on va vous faire revenir ici.
Est-ce que dans un monde idéal, ça aurait été de sortir de là-bas au milieu de l'hiver?
Oui, si on voit que quelque chose ne va pas la manière qu'on voudra, on aimerait avoir la flexibilité de faire des changements en cours de la saison, mais on n'était pas en mesure de le faire.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
There's a lot of information there, Craig, from Kent Hughes, which I'm going to try and translate all of. He said, we wanted to have, in keeping with David's wishes of going back to Switzerland, but we wanted to have him in North America as long as possible. That's why we kept him as deep as we could into the development camp, which started out in August. That's why we were hoping that we would be able to get him out of here, get him over here as fast as possible. We were watching the playoffs and what was going on in Switzerland and hoping that there was going to be a result to get David here as quickly as possible. He went on to mention it was a difficult season for David and the entire club. It was a tough situation where they had several coaches with Kloten that did not have a very good year. And he says, at one point, we would have loved to have got him out of there to bring him over here, but we couldn't. He was also asked about if he's going to play any games with the Montreal Canadiens, and he said no, because of certain clauses. Doesn't look that way. But he said, we were hoping the earlier he was going to come here, if Laval makes the playoffs, the more games he can play at the American Hockey League level, so the more he can be able to adapt to the North American game. Your thoughts on everything you heard from Kent Hughes saying, we wanted to keep him here as long as possible. We wanted to get him over here as fast as possible. At one point, it was a tough season for everyone. We wanted to get him over here earlier and get him out, but we couldn't. And we look forward to him playing as many games as possible here with Laval to try and get adapted.
Well, I mean, getting adapted, I think, is really important for David. You know, just the rink size and the players are like this idea about the way the international game and the international rinks once were, they're accustomed to playing on smaller rinks. What you wanted to do is get into the regular rhythm and understand, you know, hey, this is the challenges. This is how quickly things happen. The pace of pro hockey in North America, the pace of pro hockey in the American Hockey League, I'll be straightforward with you. I don't think it's as fast as it is in the Swiss league. I don't think it's as fast as it is in the Swedish league or the KHL. I don't think the American league is the pace of play is as high, but it's not just about pace of play. It's about, you know, the whole acclimatization to the organization, you know, the coaching, being around the development group, understanding every day what goes into every day what goes into trying to better yourself, and certainly David, you know, with the different coaches and a season that didn't go well for anybody over in Kloten, it just didn't. That's a fact. And now you're trying to get him set up, you know, where he comes into training camp next year in Montreal to for him to really fully understand what the challenges are going to be, or not fully understand, but to better understand that this is what it's going to take. And with a better understanding, it gives him a chance to train in the summer. And then it gives him a chance coming back for next year's training camp or this, you know, the 24-25 training camp, you know, what the expectations are and how he can acclimate quickly. And the fact of the matter is he may need more time in the American Hockey League. I mean, that's just something that I think, I don't think you expect it, but I think that you look at the situation and the progress that a player may take and then understand that that may be the best place for him, you know, for whatever period of time it is before he can make the jump to the NHL. I'll be straightforward here. I don't think he's ready for the NHL now. It'll be interesting to see what the American Hockey League experience does for him and how he'll be. I think the real evaluation comes at training camp in September, and then we'll get a better idea of his state of readiness. My view, not even close to being ready for the NHL.
Okay,
right
and
right
that's
now,
okay.
Right now,
I mean, no,
right
no
now.
Shame
yeah,
in that.
It's
right
fine.
Yeah,
no,
young.
Not
yeah.
at all. Yeah. That's not a negative. That's reality.
Yeah.
And certainly now you're trying to move it along. But the real test for David in terms of NHL readiness will come next September.
Yeah. Craig, I know every player is different, but if you can put on your GM hat for a second here, or just your hockey hat, actually, and do you have a rule of thumb when it comes to do you keep players playing over in Europe or going to the American Hockey League?
It all depends.
Like, how do you decide what's best there? What do you look at?
Yeah, I don't think it's I think there's a number of things, like the level of competition that he's getting over in Europe, the quality of coaching he's getting. I don't think that every player, you know, depending on where he's coming from, automatically has to just be inserted into an American Hockey League team and an environment. There's lots of good coaches outside of North America. There's lots of really good development programs outside of Laval. So you're evaluating that at all times. What does it mean? Where is the player in terms of his growth, his physical growth, his emotional growth? Where's his support group? Everything that goes with a player coming into a brand new environment. And, you know, for David coming from Switzerland into Montreal, it's a different environment. Not everything is different, but a lot of it is different. So I don't think there's a hard and fast rule for every player. I think you look at it on a case by case basis and try to understand what works for this individual player. I'll give you an example. And I just happened to be in Dallas this weekend for the Mike Modano statue unveiling. And we were talking, Yeri Lehtinen was there. Now, Yeri Lehtinen played in Turku. And the reason I bring it up is he played for Vladimir Yurzinov, who ended up going and coaching in Kloten. Great, great Russian coach. We had him come to our training camp in Dallas a number of years. So we're looking at Yeri. And Yeri played with Koivu and Peltonen on the Huey, Dewey, and Louie line in Finland. It was a great international line. Anyway, they're playing in TPS, and we're watching Yeri play, and Yeri was a good player. We were fully confident that what he was getting from Vladimir Yurzinov and in that development program and being with the national team was something that we were completely comfortable with him continuing on and to grow and to get his game and to just understand, you know, by the time he got to North America, that he had a number of achievements under his belt. They won a world championship in 1995. He had participated in the U-20 tournament. He'd been part of a good team at TPS Turku. So we were really comfortable. And given that too, Tony, it took him a little bit of time to become acclimated. He was 22 years of age when he came over. And it still took him a little bit of time to acclimate himself. But that was the decision that went in with Yeri. And certainly, if we would have brought him over at 20, we start exposing him to our coaches. Is he ready? Is he not ready? When's he ready? NHL coaches, for the most part, are looking at players who can help me now. They don't want to hear about somebody that can help them in 2 years' time. They want So sometimes keeping a player out of the vision of the NHL coaches, it's not that the NHL coaches are wrong in looking at it that way, but give them the proper glimpse of the player when he's close to being ready to come in and compete for a spot on the team. That's how we approached it. And so I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. You look at it individually. There's some situations where you go, you know what, it's best that we get that player over here and maybe move him out of here. But not every situation is the same. And I think you have to evaluate it on a case-by-case basis.
Craig, if you're scouting, how much weight do you put in where the player is going to be playing or who he's going to be playing for in terms of whether or not you draft that player? The reason why I ask, Pierre Maguire was asked a couple of days ago on Thursday. By the way, Pierre Maguire and Jimmy Murphy will have Jeff Gorton of the Montreal Canadiens, VP of hockey operations, of course, join them tomorrow on the Sick Podcast, The Eye Test, which you can watch absolutely for free, like you're watching this one here on YouTube, and subscribe to their channel. And The Eye Test, the Sick Podcast Eye Test, goes weekdays at 4 p.m. So Jeff Gorton of the Montreal Canadiens to join them tomorrow at around 4:15 till about 4:45. Don't miss that. But Pierre Maguire was asked on Thursday by Jimmy Murphy, or he was asked actually by somebody who was watching along. They took questions. And the question was, who should the Montreal Canadiens draft next, or this draft if he's available? And Pierre, right away, knowing where the Canadiens are in the standings and the possibility of where they'll be drafting. He said Cole Iserman right away. And Jimmy looked over and he said, you know what? He'll be playing at BU next year. Luke Tuck is there. Lane Hudson is there right now. The Canadians know the coach is there. They'll be able to see him quite often. He'll be playing in some pretty significant tournaments and some big rivalry games and all that stuff. And so I understood his point. Now, Reinbacher, when they drafted him, they knew where he was going to be for the most part. Should they have been scared off, or like, what's the digging that you do? What are the questions that you ask to make sure that the player is going to be in a good environment?
Well, you should know that. If you're covering the leagues below the NHL and even in the NHL, you need to know that. You need to know what the development programs are. You need to know who the coaches are. And you're always searching for more answers and deeper answers to try. If you're not fully aware of it, or you're not fully understanding of it, you're digging deep on that. And I'll be very clear with you. Like, it would be really easy. Like if it was just as simple as oh yeah, that's the next player we're going to take, whoever. You are considering a number of players when you get to a point in the draft. You're not just considering one guy, unless you happen to be picking first and you know it's Mario Lemieux or Connor Bedard or Connor McDavid. But after that, there's lots. So knowing that a player, like when it's close like that, and knowing that one player is in a really good development situation and another player might not be in as good a development situation, that goes into the decision. Because development is paramount to that player being able to become an NHL player. It's paramount. So if you don't know what you're doing or what the development situation is, then shame on the NHL team. Now, I will say this. A lot of NHL teams push players into their own development situation. Not that they don't have good development environments, but what they don't realize is the player might not be ready for that. The player might be best served by just staying right where he is. When I talk about Yari Lehtinen, like our development situation was not going to be better than Yari Lehtinen's. Just keep playing. Just stay there and play. Just keep going. We're okay. And I think that you have to know. If you don't know what a development situation is when you're making these decisions on drafting a player, then the NHL team is failing.
Anthony Martineau earlier today of Tivia Spar goes up to Juraj Slafkovský and says to him, you know, the change from playing hockey in Europe to playing hockey in North America. Let's hear from Slafkovský.
About the challenge of passing from Europe to North America a little bit.
I mean, for sure, he'll need to get used to playing on a smaller ice. He'll probably have less time, and it's for sure more physical than back in Europe. But I feel like he can definitely make the change, and it's just a matter of few games till you get used to it.
From what you saw in the training camp, and are you confident that he will do great in Laval?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a skilled guy. Like, we have great coaches down there too that will try to help him every day. And yeah, it's more like he's the player already. He just needs to get used to the ice, used to the game style and everything. Cause it's obviously different than playing in Swiss. I feel like you have more time there, and it's more like more skilled. Not like AHL. It's more meatheads just trying to take her head off. But. Yeah.
Wow. The AHL is more than meatheads, but I think we can kind of understand what Slafkovský's saying, eh? That there's certain players in the AHL that you probably won't find in Switzerland, right? Where there's less of those fourth liners that you'll find in the AHL in Switzerland, guys that do want to change the momentum of a hockey game and are there to try and take your head off at all times. And, I guess that's something that you got to factor into is the kind of is it, and this doesn't go for everyone, right? But is it safe to say that if you have a player who maybe is a top five pick, who is playing in Europe and is somebody that you've, you know, you think is a top prospect, that if you have to either have to keep them there or bring them over, you'd probably want to bring them there because they could be more protected from a physical point of view, less chance of injury from a physical point of view. Is that at all fair?
Yeah, I guess you could put that into the equation. I never worried about that. For me, the American Hockey League has three different types of players. And this was is very different than Europe, very different than the NHL. In the American Hockey League, you have your young players that are trying to find their way, trying to feel their way to what Juraj talked about. You're trying to get accustomed to this, to the pro game. You're trying to get accustomed to the smaller rink, things happening a little bit quicker. So you have that group of players. Then you have your group of players that are scratching and clawing, a little bit older. They're looking at their chances of advancing to the NHL. You know, I don't want to say last chance, but they're scratching and clawing. And so the environment that you have there with those players, like those players are going to provide a different situation than the younger players, because they're looking and they're seeing young players coming in and they're going, oh boy, I'm a left winger. That kid's a left winger. Oh boy, he was the second round pick. I was a fifth round pick. They've looked at me for 2 years. He's the bright new shiny. And you want competition, but you got to understand, then you have your established American Hockey League players, players that are essentially American Hockey League players. You have three different types of players. And in the NHL, you know, it's not the same. You're vying for ice time, but it's very different in the American Hockey League with those three different types of players. So as you insert a player, and I always feel that it's really important that you have a player that's going to get in there and be capable of playing, and number one. And then he's going to have to play. You can say, okay, we're going to play you. We're going to spot you at different points in time. You got to recognize that there's three different types of players in the American Hockey League that you're dealing with. I'm not suggesting anybody's selfish, but that player that's 23 years of age, scratching and clawing and everything, and then all of a sudden David Reinbacher comes in and he's a defender and, oh, I'm not playing tonight. Like, I'm not playing. The players know. And so that's just another dynamic you're having to deal with. And to me, I like it. And just where David's coming in now, he's trying to get his feet wet. I get it. But when you come into a season, I want players that are going to have an opportunity to play. I don't want 28 players in Laval. Like I want 22. And yeah. You know what? And so you don't have this mix going on. Everybody knows that they're part of a team. And even though players are going to be fighting, like that one group that's trying to fight, and I don't, you know, maybe I used the wrong term, last chance. They're trying to fight their way to, when I say fight, they're trying to do everything they can. But I want them to still feel part of a team. When those numbers get too big, and you get 25, 27, 28 players, and players are moving in and out, I think that's a big mistake.
Yeah, goes without saying for all kids, but I really hope well for this kid. Like I said it at the time. I mean, I think based on what I heard, it was more a draft for forwards, less a draft for defensemen. Of course, Michkov was the sexy pick, and I would have gone with a forward, but then again, yeah, I watch very, very few games compared to people who are paid to take these decisions. But he got so much backlash, that young man. It was very, very unfair to him. I thought it was too bad. And you know what? If he would have been here, you know, as much as everyone says, too bad he wasn't here all season, if he would have been here and he would have gone through some growing pains because it's first year of pro hockey in North America, you would have had a bunch of people saying, you see, they blew it. You see, they blew it. And it would have been just very, very difficult on him. And some players have cracked by hearing that kind of critique. So in a way, if you're looking for a silver lining, even though once again, it was a really tough season where you had three coaches in Kloten on a losing team, I guess that could be the silver lining, right? That they got him away from all of this negativity and all of this backlash that he was getting to kind of like breathe a little bit.
and maybe he's more ready for what's to come now than he was probably back in October.
That's emotional and mental maturity, being able to handle the demands, being able to handle what I consider to be the criticisms that come. And players are in the spotlight, and there's going to be criticisms that are fair. There's going to be criticisms that are unfair. But when you're younger, you're not – if you don't have those maturations in place emotionally and mentally, they become harder to deal with. And so you want to make sure that a player can deal in that respect. You know, I'm going to go back to Yeri Lehtinen. So Yeri was a really good player. I mean, he was a top player in Finland, top player. No, but when we brought him over in 1995, and you can go look this up, he was struggling a little bit. And we sent him down to Kalamazoo, which was our farm team. And they were playing in Milwaukee. And one game. And, you know, Yeri's like, oh, geez, okay, I'm going down to the minors. That's not his plan. You know, it's not where we're at. Like, he was completely dominant in that one game. He played one game, scored one goal, and we immediately just said, this is ridiculous. Get him out of here. Get him back. He never looked back. He might have just needed the one game to just renew that confidence. But,
yeah,
he was 22. He was able to handle it a little bit differently than if he was 20. And I think you always have to be aware of that, where a player is at on that maturation line, because as much as everybody thinks you can speed it up, you can't. So, you know, what happened last year when the Montreal Canadiens drafted David Reinbacher, again, and I'm going to say outside noise, people think they know, they don't know. And the Montreal Canadiens draft David Reinbacher because they believe that that's their player. And so they make that decision because they're not worried about what other people think. Now what they got to make sure is David Reinbacher doesn't get caught up in that. And, you know, there was a lot of people that got behind David Reinbacher and tried to support mm-hmm. him. Again, like, you're a player that has got lots of talent and lots of potential, and the Montreal Canadiens drafted you. So, and Montreal celebrated drafting him. Certainly, now it'll all play out. We'll see how he is, but there's no reason to believe that he can't be a really solid player in the National Hockey League at the very least.
Craig, I got some good news, actually. A couple of weeks ago when you joined me was the most amount of people that we've had on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So the most amount of people we've had on was a couple of weeks ago when you were on. We had a total of about 3,300 people. Now, I don't know if you can see this, but we have 5,007 people watching us right well, now, or did a couple of minutes ago. All right. So we just got that. And that's well, pretty that's cool. Good. That's pretty well, cool. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I feel, and Tony, you know me, and you know, like, I want to try to offer perspective. I'm not afraid to offer opinion. You know, I'm trying to give insights based on my own experiences and everything. I know how passionate you are, and I know how passionate the Montreal Canadiens fans are. So, you know, if I can be a small part of helping you advance your show and people are tuning in, then I can feel good about my participation.
You're actually a huge part, Craig, and I thank you so much. I just can't wait for the day where they pay me more to do this than they pay you. Then I'm really going to have made it. But all right, okay. We're having fun here.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so let's move on. So once again, I wanted to bring that up, Craig, just because I want to acknowledge our Sick Army and our Sick community, of course, that follows along all the time, and I want to thank them for their loyalty, thank them for their engagement, and I wanted to thank you. I think it's, you know, I love all our collaborators. If I didn't, they wouldn't be a part of the show. But at the same time, look, I don't think it's a coincidence that the two shows that we've had with the greatest numbers, you've played a pretty big part in that. All right. Okay. Let's move on. So prospects. Kent Hughes was asked today about prospects and probably making the Habs within the next couple of seasons. Let's hear from him.
Merci, hein, des jeunes qui pourraient rejoindre l'organisation prochainement.
As-tu hâte, justement, parce que vous avez fait de bons repêchages, as-tu hâte au jour où les joueurs que tu as repêchés dans peut-être 2-3 ans vont être des joueurs dominants dans ton équipe? Qui vont, tu sais, Logan Mayhew est encore au niveau de la Ligue américaine, mais je veux dire, sa progression est fulgurante. Est-ce que tu as hâte de voir ce que vous êtes en train de se bâtir, être un peu plus mature?
Oui, c'est sûr. Écoute, on veut être patient, mais en même temps, on est tous là, écoute, on travaille pour gagner. Alors, on est là pour changer, pour être dans une situation où les matchs en mois d'avril comptent.
Oui, parce que... qu'on le veut ou qu'on le veut pas, sans dire que ça devient pesant. C'est ça, la reconstruction aussi, d'une certaine façon. Il faut être malheureusement patient.
C'est ça. Un trop long
nombre d'années.
All right, there you have it. And he says, we want to be patient, but at the same time, we're very much looking forward to the players that were drafted and players that we're going to draft come in and start playing to the potential that we see in them.
I've said this about the Montreal Canadiens. Their prospect cupboard and all the shelves in the prospect cupboard are stocked, from goaltenders to defensemen to forwards, and they have different types of forwards and they have different types of defensemen. And you know, when you get those shelves stocked in the prospect cupboard, you should be excited. I mean, it's a process that, you know, you believe in players, you draft players, then you watch them develop, and you know, you become excited about what it could mean for you as an organization. And 23 picks, I think it's 23, it might be 24 now, this year and next year with draft picks. So they're going to add to that number. I've said this before. Not all of them are going to play for the Montreal Canadiens. There are going to be players that are going to go on and play in other organizations and potentially be good players. But what Montreal has been able to do is stockpile these picks and these prospects with the idea that it's going to put them back in a position to compete for what everybody wants to see Montreal competing for, and that's the Stanley Cup. Like, I want everybody here that's listening to the Sick Podcast or watching, I wasn't around when Frank Selke came to the Montreal Canadiens. So when I talk about Frank Selke building up the farm system for the Montreal Canadiens that led to decades and decades of success, you know, that's the replication here with Kent Hughes. That's what he's been able to do. He's building up the farm system. And, you know, every organization goes through, you know, gaps where you're trading picks and you're trying to win and you're trying to take advantage of your window. Tony, we talked about Mark Bergevin with Carey Price and the group of players that he had and trying to make sure that you could take advantage of their talents, their immense talents. But when you have this many types of prospects, good prospects, the Montreal Canadiens have good prospects and they have some really, really unique prospects. They're going to be able to see those players play for the Montreal Canadiens. They're going to see some of those players go and play in other organizations, but there's going to be return coming back to the Montreal Canadiens that's going to help them be successful. That's what good organizations do. So when I look at the Montreal Canadiens, and patience is always, we talk about David Reinbacher, patience is a necessity because everybody's at a different rate. And if you allow the players, I always say this, Tony.
Yeah.
You want to allow the players to have success at the levels, whatever those levels are below the NHL. Because if you're not ready to come to the NHL, you're not going to have success. You can't. And so you want to give all those players the different opportunities to have success outside the NHL. You don't want to push players there too quickly. And that's where patience becomes a necessity. But you have good players like Owen Beck. I'm going to use Owen Beck. Owen Beck's going to play in a second consecutive Memorial Cup. He played last year for Peterborough in the Memorial Cup. He'll play with Saginaw in the Memorial Cup. He's going to be in the American Hockey League next year. He's not ready for the NHL. And that's not a bad thing. I think Owen has a chance to be a really good, solid two-way, probably a number three center for the Montreal Canadiens. But it's not going to be next year. He needs a year under his belt. Now, maybe he advances it a little bit. Maybe he does. And one of the things that we always did in the organizations I was involved in, we didn't care what other organizations did. We didn't care. We didn't care that somebody's peer was getting a chance. We were going to be focused in on setting our young players up for success. And we weren't afraid to tell them no. We weren't hesitant to say, you're going back to junior. You're going to go back to the minor leagues to get them. And it was, and we worked with them. Don't get me wrong. We didn't just send them away. We worked with them, but really emphasized, we're here to help you get ready for the NHL.
I mentioned this with Pierre McGuire last week on the eye test on Thursday when I had a chance to join him live from Hurley's Irish Pub. And we talked about the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, the Red Wings of Jimmy Devolano and later on Ken Holland, they had a rule of thumb. I mean, unless your name was Henrik Zetterberg, or it was Pavel Datsyuk, or it was Nick Lidstrom, you were playing three seasons or 250 games at the American Hockey League level with Grand Rapids. And that was just part of your development path, right? So if you were phenomenal like those guys were and showed right away that you could play at the age of about 20 years old, you would make it right away with the Red Wings. But if you weren't one of those guys, chances are you were playing in the American Hockey League, and they didn't rush anybody because they had so many good players already on their team. They didn't have to rush other players, right? The good players they had on their team could award them time that they needed to help develop those other players at the American Hockey League level. And that wasn't the only great thing. Once they actually got promoted from the American Hockey League to the National Hockey League, there was a mentoring that was done. Like every player would grab one player, put them under their wing and show them the way. So the Red Wings, when they were doing it, and Steve Yzerman's trying to do it right now with Detroit, they did it as good or better than anyone, Craig.
There's no question they did. And they weren't hesitant to leave players in Europe as well. Like Zetterberg was a little bit older. Datsyuk was a little bit older before they came over to North America. And again, they looked at what the development situations were in the respective countries. And they said, okay, just stay there. It's okay. You're going to play at a high level. You're going to play for your national team. You're going to play in world championships. And that became something that was not only part of their DNA, but it was something that you talked about was setting them up for success. And they had lots of good players. It's interesting because I know I talked to Kenny about this, and, you know, Kenny understood it and practiced it so well, as did others. And you move to another organization and you don't have that insulation. You don't have those players that allow you to do that. And then you get tempted by the potential of a younger player. And then you might be, you know, a little bit over anxious to put them in the lineup. And yet, you know, it's not the right thing to do. And I really believe that Kent Hughes and the Montreal Canadiens have done a really, I think the hardest thing for them to have done is to be able to resist the temptation to put younger players in the lineup before they were ready. I really admire them for that. I think that might be as hard a thing to do than when you have the players and you just say, if you can beat out Chris Draper or you can beat out Henrik Zetterberg, you're on our team. Well, good luck. You weren't going to beat them out.
And now here's a funny discussion, because probably opposite of what we've been saying. Now the Canadians have a young player or two, Struble, but in particular, Joshua Roy, who a lot of people are looking at them saying, you know what? I think you got to send them down to Laval. The Laval Rocket have, about 12 games left in their season. They're battling for their playoff lives. They have several versus Belleville, who's the American Hockey League affiliate of the Ottawa Senators. So Kent Hughes was asked about Joshua Roy earlier today, saying, Are you going to send Joshua Roy down to the Laval Rocket? Let's hear from Kent Hughes.
De Josh, c'est qu'on le regarde de jour à jour. On doit prendre des décisions qui sont pour le bien de Josh, pour le bien des Canadiens de Montréal, puis pour les Rockets de Laval. Alors, c'est une balance des choses.
Parce que Josh, il est en train de forcer la main à le garder à Montréal présentement, d'une certaine façon. Est-ce qu'on peut dire ça?
Oui, il joue super bien, puis on doit. On pense d'un côté, est-ce que Joshua, en 2024-25, est-ce qu'il est mieux servi d'être avec Montréal? Est-ce qu'il est mieux servi d'être à Laval? C'est sûr que s'il va à Laval, puis il leur aide à gagner plus de matchs, mais ça aide beaucoup les prospects, les Rhinebackers, puis les prospects à Laval aussi. Alors, c'est pas noir et blanc.
Wow, what a great answer again. You learn so much every time you hear Kent Hughes speak. He says, it's not black and white. We're looking at what's best for Joshua Roy, what's best for the Montreal Canadiens, what's best for the Laval Rocket. We're also looking at, will Joshua Roy be better served next season if he finishes the season with the Montreal Canadiens, or if he goes to Laval, and also knowing that if he goes to Laval, he could help the Rocket make the playoffs, which could be really good for some of the prospects there, notably Rhinebacker. So, look, for me, I think it's a no-brainer, Craig. Your chances are you're going to lose most of your games here with the Canadiens between now and the end of the year. There's a lot of teams that are going to be playing important games, important points, and for the Canadiens, they know they're not going to make the playoffs. The only thing players are going to be playing for is to try and make an impression for next year. Some of them are sitting on long-term contracts. They really don't have to. Laval will be playing very significant games, and I think it's a great opportunity for guys like Struble, guys like Roy, to go down to Laval, to take the experience they gain here, and to really grab the bull by the horns down in Laval and say, you know what? Follow my lead. I'm going to help take you guys there. But I understand Kent Hughes' point. He's really saying we need to concentrate on Joshua Roy and what's best for him. But at that point, don't you have kind of like Roy on one side, all the prospects on the other side? Doesn't it make it an easy answer? Am I missing something here?
I think that, you know, Kent also said you're trying to balance out all those things, right? You're trying to balance out all those things. What's best for Joshua? What's best for Montreal? What's best for Laval? And I'd like to tell you there's a certain answer, and there's one answer. Joshua Roy right now has clearly shown he's an NHL player. So are you now going to send down NHL players like with the idea? And keep in mind that there might be other players now that are getting opportunity that they didn't have with Joshua Roy being up with the Montreal Canadiens. And so development doesn't take place in a vacuum. It doesn't take place. Development's ongoing in a lot of different areas. Like, would Joshua Roy and Jaden Struble going to Laval help Laval? Like, there's absolutely they would. You know that, and I know that. But you also can monitor over the next number of games. I'm talking about in Laval. Where's Laval? Where are they at? And certainly, I think there's benefits to trying to reinforce your minor league team, have them go and play important games. But that might happen in 2 weeks' time. And you get to monitor it, and you can say, hey, listen, you know, we're going to send you down here. And maybe Laval goes and wins four in a row, and they give themselves some breathing room and some space in the standings. Well, now that becomes, a part of the decision. So I don't think Kent and the Montreal Canadiens have to make a decision right now. But I do believe that, you know, with eligibility – at the American League level, then it's something that could help them. I think with Jaden, it's a little bit different. Jaden's been up for pretty much the whole season, like since he got called up in November. It's a little bit like for him going back to Laval might be a little bit different. I'm not saying it wouldn't help Jaden Struble. I know it would help Laval. But it might be a little bit different now with Jaden Struble based on what he's showing at the NHL level than it is for Joshua.
All right. Okay. You remember that record that I talked to you about of 5,007 total viewers?
Yep.
Craig, you helped set the record a couple of weeks ago with just over 3,300. You set a new record about 15 minutes ago with 5,007. I'm very happy to say that we have 6,201 people watching right now live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. I don't know who your agent is, Craig, but I would think it would be very wise on your part to send them this clip and to send it over to Agnello and Sammy right away to say, I think we should talk. 6,201 people watching right now live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at the same time. I can't thank you enough. I'm not going to lie to you. When I decided to go full time, I had this number in my head, which was I'd like to get to 10,000 people live at the same time. And probably by the end of the week, that 10,000 live ends up becoming about 50,000 views. And I don't think it's going to take very long for us to hit it. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens around the draft. And if it's not, I think it's going to happen very early on next season. So thank you very much, Craig. Once again, I'm very excited about this.
Well, you know what? I can feel your excitement. I see the smile on your face, and that makes me happy, right? Why wait to the draft? Why don't we get it done next week?
That would be nice. That would be nice. That would be nice. You're going to have to come out with a crazy rumor, though, and tell you. And unfortunately,
why do I have to come out with a crazy rumor? Lots for us to talk about. There really is. And I'm doing the game in Edmonton Tuesday, the game in Vancouver Thursday. I'm in Seattle Sunday, and then I'm in Colorado next Tuesday. So by the time we set up to talk next Wednesday, I'll have four up close viewings of the Montreal Canadiens, and we'll have lots to talk about.
Amazing stuff. All right, okay. This is really going to be an ending. This is really going to be, I think it's an understatement, but what a difficult road trip that this is going to be for the Montreal Canadiens. It started on Saturday night in Calgary. Can you talk to us about what Trevor Letowski is going through right now as taking over as interim coach during Marty's absence? I mean, he talked about it on Saturday night. So, look, I'm not going to lie to you. It kind of feels kind of cool. How easy is the transition for him? Is he just kind of following Marty's lead and what Marty has put? How does that work exactly?
Well, as a coaching staff, you're working together. So the game plan and how you want to play, you know, assistant coaches are always reinforcing what needs to happen. The coach and Marty St. Louis overseeing everything, but it's a collaboration of ideas. It's a collaboration of what do we have to do in this game? What do we have to do with these particular groups of players? What are we trying to do? So the fact is that the players are accustomed to Trevor working on different things and helping the players and helping the team, whether it be in practice or whether it be in during games. I think the most difficult thing is what was Trevor's duties on the bench, and now who's going to take that over, and being careful about introducing too many voices. You know, the players are accustomed to hearing Trevor's voice. Now it's going to be different during the game. They'll have to get used to his voice and his leadership and, you know, his command behind the bench. It'll be different than Marty. But, you know, is Trevor going to still continue to do the same things? Is he going to try to bring somebody maybe in that can, you know, relate to the players? What you don't want to do is, in my view, is you don't want to bring in somebody that the players aren't accustomed to being around, that they haven't heard from, that hasn't been part of that collaboration. And Trevor's a real sharp person, somebody I've known for a long time. I will share this with you. Marty St. Louis told me when he came in to coach the Montreal Canadiens, he said, he told Trevor, I want you standing right next to me. And Trevor's like, what do you mean? He goes, you've been a head coach. You've been in this league. You know, I haven't been in this position behind the bench. You stand right next to me. So, you know, Trevor's been a real a pillar of strength for Marty St. Louis. So I think there's a lot more seamlessness to this than it may have been in other things. Much like when Dominic Ducharme, wasn't able to coach during COVID, Luke Richardson seamlessly just moved in there because he's been around. So, I know Trevor said he's been talking to Marty a few times a day, trying to keep him up to speed, and, Marty trying to, make, and knowing Marty the way I know Marty, he'll probably be trying to reinforce Trevor and coach Trevor, you can do this, and pump him up to just go and do what you do, and giving Trevor license to go and do his thing.
Yeah. Craig, in ending, last one, you're on this road trip for the Montreal Canadiens. If there's one thing that you'll be looking out for more than anything else, what are you going to have your eyes on?
What I really want to have my eyes on, and there's three things I want to have my eyes on. I'm going to get a chance to watch Caden Primeau, like in that cycle with a two goaltender thing. And I mean, obviously he had the shutout, a couple of games ago, really strong. That's number one. You and me had this discussion about Alex Newhook. I'm going to be really watching Alex Newhook. I really want to watch Alex Newhook. And then I really want to watch the defense as a whole. We know they have Matheson, and we know they have Gooley. Jack Guy, think about Jack Guy going down to the minors and the way he's come back. That's part of development that Arbor went through there. I know what David Savard is, watching Struble, watching other players. I really want to watch how those defense defenders are really kind of growing and working together, and then make some. I'm not here to make assessments, but I want to just see how it's all working with respect into those different areas.
Awesome stuff as always, Craig. Thanks for stepping up today. You're usually a regular on Wednesday. You joined us in Eric Engels's absence today, and thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thanks. Have a great night.
You're very welcome. All right. There you have it. Craig Button. Folks, tomorrow night, the Montreal Canadiens, as you know, they go late. Okay. So at that point, there's a decision to be made. Do you go with a pregame show? But once you go with a pregame show, as you are aware, by the time the game starts after, there's no reason for anyone to watch because whatever you said in the pregame show is no longer all that important. What's important is the game. So the Canadiens visit the Oilers tomorrow night. It's a 9 o'clock game. By the time the game is over, it's going to be at the very least, I would say 11:35, 11:40 PM. So we will skip tomorrow night and we'll be back on Wednesday. Same time, same place, 10 PM Eastern. Our guest on Wednesday night is going to be Pierre Maguire, and I think it's going to be a pretty fitting guest because Pierre is going to be talking with Canadiens VP of Hockey Operations, Jeff Gorton, tomorrow on the Sick Podcast, The Eye Test, which goes weekdays between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. Jeff Gorton will be joining Pierre Maguire and Jimmy Murphy at about 4:15 p.m. for about 30 minutes time. So after Pierre talks to Jeff Gorton tomorrow, I'll be back on Wednesday with so many topics to talk to Pierre about, including what happened between the Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers on Tuesday night and what he took out of his conversation with Jeff Gorton. I want to thank all of you, my Sick Army, my Sick community. If you would have told me tonight before the show that we would have hit two personal records, set a new record on the Sick Podcast, and then 20 minutes later, set another record and break our previous record, not so sure I would have believed you. Once again, about 5 or 10 minutes ago, we had 6,201 people watching at the same time. YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook combined, pretty cool numbers. Safe to say, we're pretty optimistic with what's going on with the Sick Podcast and what's going to take place in the years to come. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much for all your faith in us. Thanks so much for all your confidence. Thanks so much for your loyalty. It means everything to me. It means everything to Sick Media Agency as well. For Shane Gaumont at Master Control, I want to thank Energy Transportation Group. I want to thank Labitte TB.
I want to thank Playground. I want to thank Accent Insurance Solutions. And I want to thank Manscaped. We'll be back Wednesday night. Same time, same place. Enjoy the Canadians and the Oilers tomorrow night. For Shane Gaumont and Master Control, he's Gaumont. I'm Marinaro. One team, one dream. Yeah, baby. Let's do this thing.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.